Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
No music, no intro. Another hashtag Saints Twitter podcast episode. We're pumping them out. Joined as always with Ryan. You can follow Ryan on Twitter at ThatBoyWolf. We actually got is this considered big time? Like someone from the NFL Network decided to grace us with his appearance on the pod. NFL Networks, NFL.com's one and only Greg Rosenthal. You can follow Greg on Twitter at Greg Rosenthal. He is a part of the wildly popular Around the NFL podcast. He does another podcast with his best friend. He doesn't even qualify to get like a stimulus check. Like that's how good it is to be Greg.
Stop. you should be treating it as a big time guest. You got to start, you know, making those big time moves. We got to up the production game here. You got to let me know more than 2 minutes before the show that I got to be on Zoom. It's like, what is this? Like my preschool class with my son, like walking around my neighborhood right now.
Greg just trashing our podcast.
It'd be too loud. It'd be too loud in my house right now. They're going to bed. Kids are going to bed.
It's 8:30.
What? That's too late. You're judging.
No, I'm just kidding. My daughter goes to bed at the same time. I can't even say anything.
It's new rules. You know, it's new rules in the pandemic. For real. I'd rather, you know, stay up a little later, sleep a little later. We don't have, you know, they don't have to go anywhere in the morning. It's probably the best single thing about all of this is that you don't have to rush out of your house first thing in the morning.
It's 8:30 later for you? For the kids?
It's a little later because I got like a, you know, a 5-year-old son and, you know, my wife keeps it pretty locked down, pretty, you know, set up.
So we're a day away from the NFL draft. We're gonna hit some NFL things, but we brought you on the podcast because Ryan and I feel sometimes that as Saints fans, sometimes you don't want to hear about Saints things. We're gonna talk about the Saints, but as fans of the NFL, we have to get like a broader sense of view of the league and where the NFC South stands, draft, offseason. So I'll kind of start it off in terms of with all the craziness that's happened within the NFC, the Bucs, Brady, Gronk, Bridgewater, Carolina, Falcons, or whatever. But like, how do you, before the draft tomorrow, where do you see the NFC right now in terms of a division?
The NFC South or the whole conference?
The NFC South.
I mean, I think the Saints have the best roster in the NFC. And they're the team that, you know, if I'm making like kind of the list of like teams, I'd be surprised if they didn't make the playoffs, which is sort of how I value it. You know, they would probably be atop that list for the NFC. So like you have to start there with the division. The Panthers, the Falcons, the Bucks are, you know, on paper a lot better. I think their defense is the reason why I believe in them a little bit more. They finally have some people in the secondary and up front, and I like what Todd Bowles did. So they're frisky, and I think either of the other two teams could be frisky. It's probably, along with the NFC West, I think the best division in football. But, man, the Saints, Sean Payton's feeling so good he doesn't even need to do an offseason program. That's how good he's feeling about it.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the Saints roster and I feel pretty good about it. You know, obviously I could pick it apart. You know, Andrews Pete, or you know, linebacker position, or you know, things like that. But that's just a fan's take. But when you look at it from a global view, it's a pretty good roster. But I mean, with the Bucks, I mean, you're a Patriots fan. You know, you're well known. And you know Brady well, you know Gronk well, you know that connection. I mean, realistically, if it works out, let's just say it works out, what does that look like for the Bucs? Like, what does it working look like? Mm. Is it a Super Bowl? Is it what?
I don't think you can rule them out. And, you know, when I say that about the Saints, like, I'm understanding that following the NFL, like, the hardest thing to do is stay good year after year, is to kind of make the playoffs or make the final eight teams year after year. And it almost never surprises me if any team doesn't do that, you know, because it just, other than the Patriots for the most part, and you know, it just doesn't happen. The Saints the last 3 years are as consistent as anyone. So, yeah, I think they'll be in the mix. But if you told me the Bucs that it did break right because Bowles and that defense are highly competitive, top 10 type of defense, which I could totally see, and that Brady is making good decisions with, you know, a great cast of characters around him and winning some lower scoring games too, in addition to also being able to score, like they are absolutely a contender. But you could say that about like 8 or 9 teams. I really don't see, and I think last year played out that way, that halfway through the season, you could see a ton of teams being in the mix, and that's just how it goes. And I think the Bucs would have a chance. Why not?
Great. Are you surfing right now?
I'm walking around. Why? What's going on? Am I like,
no, you're fine. So what are your thoughts on, I mean, the Saints didn't add a lot in terms of during the offseason, but the big kind of piece that they did add to complement Michael Thomas was adding Emmanuel Sanders. From the outside perspective, like, what were your thoughts on them adding help in terms of additional wide receiver weapons for Drew Brees in the offense?
Yeah, I thought that was a great move. And I wouldn't be shocked if they got another in the draft. I mean, what do you guys think? I could see them going in a lot of directions. I could see them being the team that takes Jordan Love, which would probably annoy Saints fans. But sitting at 24, like, I could see adding another receiver to that group because they really don't have anything else that's screaming, and that's where the value might be at that point in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I think wide receiver is definitely, from what we're hearing, wide receiver is, you know, it's one of the key positions that they'll be looking at 24. And Jordan Love is a real thing. It's not, you know, it's not smoke. It's like, like if he's there, there will be a decision to make. And you all know the whole Patrick Mahomes thing from a few years ago. You know, will Sean Payton look at that and like, will I pass this up again? You know, I think he'd make the move. If I'm pretty much 90% sure if Jordan Love is there, he's pulling the trigger on it, you know. That'd be fun. Not, I don't know. It's scary, but it's
he's
fun.
Not Patrick Mahomes, though. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's fun, and I just watched him this week, and he's a lot of fun. In some ways, he is just a freak, and I could see why a guy like Sean Payton could think that he could make him into a superstar. And who knows, he might be right. But Love had a lot more red flags in terms of making bad decisions. And he seems like that boomer bust guy that guys take with late first or second, and it usually doesn't work. But I can totally get why a team would do it because he's wild to watch.
Well, I know – the draft isn't your expertise. You're no Mark Sessler, but
I'm into it this year. I think I'm more into it. I was just talking about this with my wife, not to cut you off. I'm sorry, Adam, but she said you're more into the draft this year than like any time I can remember. I think it's because there hasn't been any sports.
So yeah,
like,
there's nothing to do.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I mean, like, see, people, you know, but there's a lot with the kids. I feel like I'm busier and on some level because of the kids, but it's just like, when was the last time I wasn't like doing something related to sports every day? So I might as well do this.
I was just saying, since you're a certified draft expert this draft season, what are like just some of the general takeaways in terms of just guys that you watched and who you like, you know, watching and things like that? Doesn't matter position, anything.
Just because it's the last thing I did, I was thinking about the running backs, how I do think and that there's a time in the draft where these running backs have value. I think this is a pretty good running back class. And I get not taking, you know, a guy in the first unless you think he's really, really special. And DeAndre Swift might be that guy. But I think the value starts hitting you like in the second round, like a second round running back. If you need a running back in the right system, you want them on your rookie contract. He's going to end up having more value, especially a guy like J.K. Dobbins, who I really like. I like Cam Akers a lot. Like, to me, those guys are going to help your team more than a ton of the premium position picks that end up getting taken in front of you. And they're like safer evaluations. It depends what kind of team you are. But if you're a team that's like ready to go and that's going to add something to you, like the Bucks, for instance, who I think will be taking one early. Like, these guys, I think it's a good class. It's a lot of guys that would have been first rounders 15 years ago. You know what I mean? Like J.K. Yeah. Dobbins would have been a first rounder 15 years ago. He just would have. Jonathan Taylor, who I'm not as in love with, he would have been a first rounder 15 years ago too. He would have been a top 15, 20 pick. It's just a different league.
Definitely. Yeah, it's I mean, I love the running backs. Obviously, the wide receivers are the showcase. Any wide receivers? I mean, you have any faves so far? Or anybody that you know that you can see just balling out on Sundays?
Yeah, Denzel Mims was awesome. I gave him to the Saints with we did it like a mock draft thing on NFL Network, and I just thought that would be fun. That would be like a fun pick. He's so athletic. I didn't really see what the problems were with him. I know he had some drops his senior year, but it wasn't a crazy amount, and he was playing through a broken hand. And the athleticism, like his, when I saw that his three cone drill was like the best in the league, I thought, oh, maybe the Patriots might take him, because that's all they take is three cone drill guys. And he, to me, had like very little downside. His ball skills were like insane. I don't know. I fell in love with him, but I like a lot of the guys that could be available there. T. Higgins, if the Saints ended up taking him, like I could totally get with that too. I think he'd be a great pick there.
I am the certified T. Higgins truther. And I have been, so I don't think he's going in the first. I think he's going to go a lot like in the second or, you know, for whatever reason.
He's not like, for whatever reason, he has his detractors, but I don't know. I think one thing I'm looking forward to, I hope people are right about this, is that the conventional wisdom of where guys are going is going to be more wrong than usual. And like, it wouldn't, like if you told me T. Higgins was the fourth receiver off the board, that certainly wouldn't. There can be a shock to. I don't think that many people.
So I have a question in terms of kind of the NFC and the hierarchy. Do you believe that the Packers are truly as good as they were last year?
No, I'd throw them sort of in, you know, after the Saints and the 49ers, to me, I would throw almost everyone else into a bucket of like, you know, you might make the playoffs, you might not. Of course, you're going to have high expectations if you're the Packers or if you're the Eagles or Seahawks. But, like, no one else really, to me, are teams where I'd be stunned if they did not make the playoffs. And I would definitely include the Packers in that. There's a lot to like, and I think the defense could get better. It almost underperformed a little. It was very streaky. But there's something about the coaching staff and Rodgers hasn't quite been at his best that, like, they did not look like a 13-3 team. They felt more like a 10-6 type of team, and maybe they'll get better, but it wouldn't surprise me if they don't.
I mean, I know you've been pretty high on the Falcons in the past. For me, as a Saints fans, we obviously hate them, their rival. You know, they, no matter what their record is, when we play them, you know, it's, you know, we either lose or it's like a, you know, slobber fest. But, like, have you figured out what was wrong with them last year? Like, was it a talent thing? Or, like, I just can't put my finger on it with, like, what really went wrong? Because the talent wasn't that different from, like, the Super Bowl roster.
No, I've been wrong about the Falcons a lot. I've been too high on the Falcons. I mean, I guess I just bought the Kool-Aid. Like, after they made it to the divisional round and barely lost to the Eagles the year after they won the Super Bowl, I was like, oh, this team, it's young. It's going to be together for a long time. And, like, it's getting better. I think it's just going to be one of those teams. And it's 7-9 the last 2 years, and it wasn't injuries last year. You're right. They're just they're just kind of soft on defense. Like, Dan Quinn's defense has never really worked. They've had all the guys, they've put all the resources, and they're just kind of soft. And they've had a couple little stretches where they weren't, and they made the playoffs in those. But otherwise, he's been there 5 years, and they're pretty soft, and they're supposed to be a defensive team. And they don't look any better on paper right now. They look worse on paper defensively.
Mm. Do you – sticking with the same theme of the Falcons, so there's, like, this like, I don't know if it's buzz or, like, mumbling that either, A, there's been a regression and – Matt Ryan's game, and then two, and I don't buy this, but potentially
you're just bringing me on so I can slam the Falcons. I get it.
So first of all, I don't, my number one team I hate the most, it isn't the Falcons, it's been the 49ers, but that's neither here nor there.
That's because you went to that game in San Francisco.
that is exactly why, Greg. 100%. But that said, do you buy into that? And also, do you buy into potentially the Falcons looking to draft their quarterback of the future?
I buy that Matt Ryan played worse last year. He's young enough. He's 34. That, you know, the way quarterbacks are playing now, like, I don't think that necessarily means he's, like, going into some big decline. He could be better again this year. But he definitely didn't make as good decisions, wasn't as accurate last year. I was disappointed. They like, as badly as, you know, we're painting them for soft, like, they weren't that far away from being a 9-7, 10-6 type team. They had a lot of close losses. They weren't terrible. They've just been, you know, very average with their share of bad luck the last 2 years in terms of injuries and losing close games. But either way, you thought they would be better than average, and that's all they've been, you know, at best.
And then could you see them addressing potentially, I don't know, a first round, but potentially taking a quarterback in the first round if that person's there and they feel like he's the guy?
I don't think so.
Didn't they just pay Matt Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, he's 34, and that used to be old, and who knows, maybe he will fall off a cliff, but it's like 5 years younger than Phillip Rivers, who just got $25 million. You know what I mean? It's 8 years younger than Tom Brady. Not that he's going to be – not that Matt Ryan, Tom Brady, but they're not worried about Matt Ryan. If Matt Ryan plays that bad, they know they're all going to lose their jobs anyways. You know, he's their guy.
Now with the Panthers, the Carolina Panthers, like, obviously you can't predict anything with them. I mean, it's a completely new roster, front office, ownership, you name it. You got Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback. It's well known, as Dan Hansis points out, his six air yards per attempt.
But now I gotta go and I gotta hear that on this show too. It's like every host I go to is just making fun of Teddy.
No, I like Teddy. You know, Teddy's my guy. But
Teddy went undefeated for you guys. You guys should love Teddy.
We love him forever. You know,
who knows? Maybe if he was starting that playoff game, maybe they would have won. You know.
All right. Calm down.
I blocked a lot of people saying that. You know.
It would sort of be an honor to be blocked by you. I mean, I would miss the retweets and miss the jokes, but I would feel like I've really achieved something to be blocked by you.
No, I've been mad at your takes before, but you still hadn't got the block. So,
with the Panthers,
like, what do you even expect from them? It's like I'm trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I don't know. They're probably. I'd have to think about it, but they might be the team I have the least, like, feel of anything of what they're going to do. Just because Matt Rhule, you think, is going to be a little different than a lot of the head coaches out there. It's a little bit like Kingsbury, you know, a year ago. Difference being, though, is that there's not a lot of NFL coaches on that staff even, like assistant coaches on defense either. So it's a total mystery, but they're not. You could say this about 26 teams. You know, it's like they're not it's not a terrible roster. People are saying, like, oh, they should blow it up. It's like they have too many good players to blow it up. And if he's a decent coach, it's like it's not that hard to win 7 or 8 games. I feel like if a couple things break your way, if they were better than that, then he'll show that he's going to be a hell of a coach and going to be a problem for you. Like, I think Teddy can win if the right things are kind of set up for him.
I mean, Joe Brady was literally a low-level Saints offensive assistant. Like a low-level guy. I barely knew who he was. And he just, I mean, he rips apart the college, you know, the college college football last year. And now he's a freaking OC. And it's like, I'm just so interested to see what happens. Because I have no idea.
Yeah, I didn't even think about kind of the Saints angle there. I mean, obviously, you know, I know Joe Brady's from the Saints, and it is crazy, like, catching up on these, you know, prospects, because watching Jefferson and Burrow and their running back, you know, in preparation for the draft, you can't help but appreciate their offense. It was like they were running, you know, the Saints offense, a pro offense, and they were playing a bunch of, like, you know, college teams. I mean, that's what it looked like. But you can't tell if it was, like, how much of it was talent, because it was a very talented team, and how much of it is just Joe Brady about to come into the NFC South and be the guy that Sean Payton never saw coming. You know what I mean? Just crazy. End the whole thing, you know?
Poor Lombardi. Joe Lombardi, the Saints quarterback coach, who was supposed to be like the next Sean Payton in Detroit.
Also, poor Pete Carmichael, who's just always just going to be just in his place. So, you are unofficially the hashtag swirl tendencies when it comes to black quarterbacks. You have this love for them, Cam, Winston.
I mean, not it's not a blanket statement, but yeah, it's fair.
So don't forget Geno. Like, it's a long
Geno's list. Geno's big. I jumped off EJ Manuel pretty quick. I'm trying to think of.
So that said, There's this, you know, mumbling potentially that I don't know if I buy it with so much Cam, but potentially the Saints at some point, obviously after the draft, maybe bring in Jameis and try to have another Teddy Bridgewater situation with him. If that ever were to happen, would you think that he would, you know, accept being a backup at least for a season and could?
Wait, did you just say the Saints?
Yeah.
You were cutting out for a second. I didn't know. I have not heard anything about that.
There's some whispers. In terms of, do you think he's salvageable?
Oh, for sure. I mean, he had his problems last year, but you can't be that bad and throw for 5,000 yards. He obviously has inherent problems that maybe the best quarterback coach like Sean Payton can't fix. But he's still better than a lot of starting quarterbacks out there. He still does a lot of things at a really high level, including, like, you know, some next level quarterbacking thing. That's the thing that probably drives coaches crazy about him. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is a similar guy to me, who I think sees the game very well and calculates, like, risk on certain things just at a totally different level that people – and it's helped Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, kind of max out his – but you don't want your franchise guy to be like that. I do think, by the way, Winston, if he went to New Orleans – I mean, if he was going to sign, it would be because, you know, he wants to learn from Drew Brees and he's cool stepping back for a year and he sees the potential of possibly taking over. It would actually – be the best thing he could possibly do, and it would shut up all the Taysom Hill believers, which would be a fun kind of side effect.
Whoa, Taysom Hill heat! Where is this coming from?
Well, it's just like everyone. All we ever hear, here's the next Steve Young, and yet, they're maybe gonna take a quarterback in the draft, or maybe they're gonna sign Jameis Winston. It's like if he was actually the next Steve Young, you know, but you would let him play over Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, the thing is, Sean Payton loves Taysom, but, like, ask Sean Payton about tight end Josh Hill, and you would think Josh Hill is, like, the best tight end since, since Antonio Gates or whatever. I mean, that's just Sean Payton.
Yeah, that's fair.
The only thing I will say for Taysom is that he, whenever this pandemic is over, he earned me essentially like a drink and dinner on you. So I'll always be appreciative of Taysom.
That's true. That's true. I said he would not get a first round tender, and you know, you have, you know your team better than I do. That's for sure.
Do you have any other thoughts leading up to the draft tomorrow? Any thoughts overall on? Well, I mean, we didn't even really touch on the AFC. Really, I guess we can go around, to quote Dan Hanses. Just quickly touch on the AFC and kind of how do you view the AFC as a whole?
Well, the Chiefs. I mean, I'm not breaking any ground here. That the Chiefs and the Ravens going into the year are the teams that, like I said, kind of are in the category of if they didn't make the playoffs, something went seriously wrong. And then there's like a million other teams. There's the only teams, there's a few more bad teams, I think, in the AFC. To me, the bad teams are the Jets, the Jaguars, and the Dolphins, and maybe the Bengals. But I actually think on paper, the Bengals could be pretty frisky, especially with Burrow. And if any of those teams make the playoffs, like something crazy kind of happened. Then after that, you know, I think people got a shot. It's weird to think of an AFC East where the Patriots are just not going to be the favorites. The Bills are going to be the favorites, which is wild.
My last question, Greg, I appreciate you for coming on. I don't know if you watched any of the rookie quarterbacks, but, I mean, are you Joe Burrow or Tua? Like, who kind of floats you, you know, tickles your fancy a little more?
I guess Burrow, just because he's healthy, you know. It worries me when you're, like, talking about the number one overall pick and he's 24 years old. I feel like that gets lost a little bit, that he's playing against some guys that are, like, 4 years younger than him, 5 years younger than him. I mean, that is a massive difference. But when people are comparing him to Andy Dalton, it's like Andy Dalton is not making the plays on the move and out of structure. Joe Burrow.
People are doing that?
Yeah, people are like, well, in a worst case scenario, he's kind of like a, you know, an Alex Smith maybe, an Andy Dalton, and I sort of get the Alex Smith a little bit if you put it in yourself in a 2006, you know, mindset. But man, this guy is so athletic, and it was just an uncanny season. You're just worried, like, I don't know, that the ceiling isn't quite as high as you would like. But Tua doesn't seem far behind.
Ryan kind of tweeted about this. Like, do we even have a feel for, like, what Zach Taylor does on offense? Like, even after a full NFL season has been played?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, initially, they looked like they were just trying to do what the Rams were doing. And then, you know, they mixed it up a little bit more. Andy Dalton actually looked okay for a couple games.
He really, like, there's some games where I saw him and I was like, oh, like he's fine. Like he's at the Dalton scale. Like he's fine.
Yeah, you know, in their defense, they were ravaged by injuries, and it's like, yeah, you're probably not gonna win if you're the Bengals without Andy Dalton and AJ Green. Like you're probably gonna look like a flaming, you know, pile of, I don't know, are we allowed to swear, but on this, but I mean, you know, what are you gonna do in that scenario? What do you got? You're the Louisiana guy, Ryan. You know, what's your feel on Burrow?
Look, I'm not even like an LSU fan. You know, I watch a little bit of them during, you know, like if they win, it's like, okay, cool, but it's not like I'm some LSU home. I really don't care if they win or lose, but I just, when I studied him, I was just like, every time I watch him, I just feel like he has the key traits that win in the NFL. Like, your arm strength and all that stuff, yeah, that's okay, yeah. But, you know, managing the pocket, you know, analyzing, looking, you know, standing behind and reading the field, the entire field, not just half of it, you know, going through progressions, you know, the anticipation, putting the ball in front of the wide receiver so he can get the, you know, yards after catch, you know, reading the safety, just all those little things that, like, the quarterbacks that really do last in the league, like, he just showed it, you know what I'm saying? And, yep. I mean, Tua did, too, to a certain extent, but Tua, not that it's a knock on him, but he was just so safe in that system. He's so protected. Everything was just worked around us in his system, where Burrow, his offensive line wasn't really great, and he had to be creative in the pocket a lot and kind of create on the move. So I just kind of itched towards him. But I really love Tua too. Like, I think Tua, if he's like stays healthy, I think he's going to be a stud too. Like, just he's like a Russell Wilson, Drew Brees kind of mix. It's just So I like both of them, but I just kind of I would sway towards the Burrow side a little bit. I just hope he succeeds with the Bengals. I know everybody trashes the Bengals and Mike Brown and all that, but I'd just love to see them, you know, get a great quarterback and, you know, ball out.
Yeah, I used to love their team. Like, that was the first – that was when I realized, like, I could like other teams other than the Patriots. I think it was just covering the league. But I love their mid 2005 teams with Carson Palmer and Houston. And I loved them kind of the second iteration of that too, you know, the early part of last decade. And even some of the Andy Dalton teams, you want those fans to get something. I'm with you that, to me, they're very similar types of players, seeing the whole field, getting rid of the ball really quick. Tua's release, I think one of the reasons that it looks like the system is so good, and the system is so good, but it's because Tua had it mastered so early. And I think that's the things that people talk about, that I've talked to and listened to, and you can see it in the game too, is that he processes and sees, you know, all four receivers and things so quickly, and he has such a quick release, and everything is just very quick. And it's kind of a hard thing. I don't think I'm not good enough, like, grinding film and knowing what the quarterback sees to really be able to truly appreciate that, because you have to just kind of trust the people that do know it. But that's where he gets the comparisons to Breeze, and that, you're right, that is kind of what makes you successful in the NFL. The only thing is the injuries. I mean, three surgeries is no joke. I feel like the other two ankle surgeries kind of got lost in the shuffle, because you're thinking about the hip. But that's a worry. That's a worrisome fact. Other than that, he seems about as safe to be like a solid, above average starting quarterback at worst as just about as about anyone. I mean, Burrow seems to me like a higher upside and maybe a little higher risk, just because he was like older and it was one year, and you just haven't seen it as much as you saw it with Tua.
So we asked you all the hard hitting football questions. The last one I have for you is, how's the beard coming along, Greg? Quarantine beard, we out here?
Yeah, it's happening. I mean, we all decided to do it on around the NFL. How you look? I don't know. Like, I'm kind of, I don't know. Now I'm already sick of it. I was enjoying not having a beard, but we agreed to do it like as a foursome, so it's happening right now.
We got to talk about Mark. He's looking like Ted Krasinski a little bit. We got to how we all have
helpful. I feel like that fits the brand, though. You know, that's perfect.
That's my guy. Mark's my guy.
Mark's hilarious. But we thank you for coming on. You are like you don't you're not a part of hashtag Saints Twitter, but I feel like you're a member by proxy of, you know, you're kind of close enough to it, so you're an unofficial member of hashtag Saints Twitter. You can follow Greg on Twitter at Greg Rosenthal. List all his work. Read his article. What's the last article that you did that was worth something?
Oh, damn! Damn. I mean, I know I was rambling on a little bit, but shit. I mean, you can't people on and just come at them like that. I am writing every night of the draft. I had some good GM rankings. I gave your boy Mickey. The last thing I wrote was good, actually. It was some GM rankings. Those take a long time. And I gave your boy – I finally decided to just give Mickey Loomis some love for all the financial jujitsu he's done over the years. And it's given Peyton and Ireland some love, too, because if I'm going to say they got the best roster in the league and they are the best team in the NFL on balance over the last 3 years, which is – weird to think, because they haven't been in a Super Bowl, but they have been the best over the last 3 years, like, combined. Like, if you took them all, adding them up, you got to give Loomis some love. And the Pelicans are still in New Orleans. What a thing.
that Jeff Ireland text that he sent Loomis
during the Senior Bowl.
It's like the best text in history. Like.
So I know you're going to be crazy busy tomorrow. So obviously listen to the recap of, you know, the Around the NFL podcast, recapping the draft. What's your guys' schedule coming for the next couple of days?
I'm liking it. I mean, I'm watching a draft at home for the first time.
Oh, it's the best.
In a long time.
It's the best.
I'm trying to think when the last time would have been, but it would have been a long time ago, maybe about 2006 or so. So
graduated high school?
Because I used to go in New York. I think I went to the draft that year. I think it was probably 2005. But I'm gonna have my kids watch it, and I'm gonna be writing a column at the end, and then we got the podcast every night right afterwards. My kids are into it; they love football.
Are you guys gonna continue doing the daily podcast? Because I mean, you spoiled us, man. Like I listen to it every morning when I start work. I play it. You know,
really?
Yeah, it's like after the draft, it's like there's nothing, man. Like
tumbleweeds.
Anything to talk about?
Tumbleweeds.
Yeah, I know. I have been wondering. Like, I wouldn't expect anyone to even be listening all the time because I have less time to listen to podcasts now. I think that's true for a lot of people because they're not in their cars as much or on trains. But I think we're half doing it. One, because it's fun, but just, you know, to have something to do, and it is fun to do. I don't know if we're going to do daily after the draft, but we have not crossed that bridge just yet. We thought, hey, let's do it at least until the draft. Now that it looks like we might have a couple, you know, more months of this, it's like, okay, we got to figure this out.
Well, thank you so much again for coming on, Greg. We'll be in touch. And so, again, you can follow Greg on Twitter at Greg Rosenthal. Ryan, thank you for joining me as always, man. Having fun getting right here, just chopping it up a bit, talking about football, talking about the Saints. You can follow on Ryan on Twitter at ThatBoyWolf. Don't follow me on Twitter because I'll probably block you. And with that, we're out.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.